Radio. Hope you're well. Now, the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison last week announced a plan involving billions of dollars for Pacific nations. But there is concern that island nations will end up indebted to Chinese creditors. So why would Scott Morrison want to offer the Pacific island nations even more debt? Well, to answer that question is Susan Engel, Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Studies at the University of Wollongong. Susan, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Julia.
So what is it exactly that Scott Morrison has promised to the Pacific nations?
So he's promised $2 billion to create an Australia infrastructure financing facility for the Pacific. I don't think they've thought much about that name, quite a mouthful, policy making on the run. Mm-hmm. But what that means is not that normally that $2 billion will provide the credit, the capital for the facility, and it will then borrow further money from the private sector or co-finance with the private sector. And also another $1 billion to Australia's Export Finance Insurance Company, Corporation for Pacific Projects.
Right. And so would these loans actually help Pacific nations, or does it add to their debt and actually hurt them?
Around 40% of the Pacific island nations are already in debt distress. Some of that is to China, but some of it is to multilateral development banks like the World Bank. Another 30% of countries already have moderate levels of debt. So adding to their debt is with loans that need to be repaid doesn't seem like a great strategy.
Right. And so under Trump, we've seen America withdraw from this part of the world and China start to creep in. Is China's influence the major reason for Australia's renewed interest in the Pacific?
Yeah, there's not much doubt about that. And their offer of commitment for $4 billion for roads to PNG at the APEC meeting was really quite extraordinary, although Chinese finance isn't quite as coherent as people sometimes think. There's quite a lot of different development banks and policy banks operating in China, and they're not necessarily all working with the coordination of the Chinese government. So, China's there, but there's not always a clear strategy with it.
My next question was whether we should be fearful of China's growing influence in the Pacific and in Australia. Should we be concerned, or is this kind of played up in the media?
I think it's hard to know. The Pacific has been a region of great power competition for a long time. During the Cold War, we saw the US and the Soviet Union competing there. This is the next iteration of that. These cycles will come and go. We need to be careful not to overreact to it as well and to see it for what it is. The Pacific is also, it has some strategic benefits, but they're small economies, small island nations. Their capacity for large-scale capitalist development is really very limited.
Right. And so what has Australia's role been in the Pacific in recent years? Have we been a major player in terms of investment and political influence, or have we kind of retreated?
We've been a major aid donor. That's reduced a bit with the cuts of under the current coalition government in its various iterations. And although with the pivot, this pivot of aid towards the Pacific, it hasn't been cut greatly. So Australia has been a major player in the region, and a lot of that's been to fairly good projects in health and education and governance, although at the same time, a lot of Australian aid is often called boomerang aid because it's used to pay Australian consultants at quite high Australian consultancy rates rather than actually being money that goes into the local economy. We've always been a big player in the region, but that's created our political problems for the government with concerns about the way we've acted in the region.
Right. And so at the APEC summit, as you mentioned before, we saw deep tensions between the US and China play out. Was the summit effectively a failure at restoring the US's role in the Pacific?
Yeah, not totally. I guess there seems to be some, it indicated some growing competition that perhaps the US are again interested in the naval base on Manus Island, joint naval base with Australia and the US and PNG, is certainly an indication that they haven't fully lost out. And after initially promising to gut their own investment banks, the Americans have recently announced some major new funding for that, some of which may flow to the Pacific. So there is going to be continued competition in the region. Whether that's sustained, whether the US will sustain a focus, I think is the interesting question.
Right. Well, Susan, thank you so much for your time today on the show. It's been very insightful.
Thank you, Julia.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.